We have such a treat this Lenten season. We will be unpacking the I Am sayings that are scattered throughout the Gospel of John. This phrase, I Am, goes all the way back to the burning bush. You know that narrative. We were taught it as wee little lads, right? One moment, Moses is shepherding sheep. The next moment, he's shepherding a people, God's people. God commands Moses to go down into Egypt and to bring them out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. But Moses has a problem, a hiccup. He's thinking, well, what if God's people ask me what God's name is? God doesn't leave Moses hanging. He delivers the goods like he always does. Check it out. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am is God's special name. So we should not be surprised that throughout Jesus' ministry, he uses that name, I am, to identify himself as the very God who spoke to Moses at the burning bush, pointing to himself as the Old Testament God in the flesh. Now, an example of this would be the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are out there on the Sea of Galilee. A storm gets kicked up to high gear, and the waves are crashing into the boat, and they're freaking out. They think they're going to, you know, sink right to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And they freak out even more when they see a guy walking on water. They believe they're seeing a ghost. They probably want to call the Ghostbusters, which weren't really around and aren't really around. They're not real, just an FYI. Okay. Well, the Lord approaches his disciples that are freaking out, and he says, take heart. Many of our translations have, it is I. Bad translation. He says, I am. Do not be afraid. I am. Well, not only does Jesus use I am to identify who he is as the OT God in living color, but he also uses I am and follows it with a noun. And he does this quite a bit in the Gospel of John. And you know these examples. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. Now he launches those I am sayings, not once, not twice, but seven times in the Gospel of John. Seven, of course, is a number of perfection, a number of completion. And so that tells us that the salvation that Jesus brings isn't halfway. No, 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 no. He brings to us the whole enchilada of our salvation. So, dear friends, let's have some fun these Wednesday nights and unpack these I am sayings from Jesus, so that we have a better understanding of who he is for us and our salvation. Tonight we look at, I am the light of the world. Now we're so afraid of the darkness that is in this world that we try to block it out. Now, I mean, we can try to ignore the darkness, but the darkness is still there. We can't escape from the darkness. It's all around us. I mean, just turn on the nightly news and you're pretty well allowing 30 minutes of darkness to be poured into your living room. The Florida school massacre. The murder-suicide up in Seaboyne. A mother just recently killing her two kids and then killing herself in Bangor Township. The darkness is thick. It blankets our society. And that's just the nature of sin, working its way into every nook and cranny of this world. Now, the darkness isn't just there, out there on the streets. The darkness is in our schools. The darkness of bullying. The darkness is in our workplaces. The darkness of selfishness. You know, on full display as coworkers try to race to the top, doing whatever it takes to get that promotion, that bump in their pay. Companies slashing jobs just to get a bigger profit, making it more difficult for a lot of families. The darkness is in our homes as we deal with depression, disease, addiction, and death. And the darkness, sadly, is in our congregation, like any congregation. You know, Grace isn't immune to this. Gossip, ever hear of it? The darkness of gossip. Brothers and sisters in Christ gossiping about one another, tearing one another down, dragging their names through the mud, putting the absolute worst construction on everything and everyone. Friends, the heart of darkness is the heart. It's been that way for each of us since our conception. We were conceived and born in the darkness. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now we wander around the shadow of death, groping for life and hope and peace and joy and fulfillment and happiness, but we come up empty-handed. We can't get no satisfaction. We're left so empty inside. And left in the darkness, we would be lost and die forever. We can't get out of the darkness, in fact, because of sin, which has destroyed our hearing and our seeing and our thinking. We are totally and utterly helpless. But thanks be to God, he comes to our rescue. As the prophet Isaiah proclaims so beautifully in Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." See, God isn't afraid of the dark. He's not. Yeah, we might need some nightlights. God doesn't. He's not afraid of the dark. He actually enters into the darkness so that he can send the darkness packing for good, forever, taking away every reason for us to ever be afraid of the dark. Our God, our Lord, is no stranger when it comes to darkness. I mean, just think about it. Into the darkness of a virgin womb, Jesus takes on flesh and blood. Into the darkness of a cave, Jesus is born. Into the darkness of disease and death and demon possession, Jesus helps and heals. Into the darkness of confusion and ignorance, Jesus teaches. Into the darkness of a storm, Jesus speaks, and there is a great calm. Into the darkness of despair, Jesus comforts. Into the darkness of Gethsemane, Jesus prays. Into the darkness of betrayal, ridicule, mockery, Jesus remains silent. Into the darkness of Good Friday, Jesus dies. Into the darkness of a borrowed tomb, Jesus is buried. But he does not remain stone cold dead. He does not remain in the darkness. On the third day, Jesus bursts forth from that open, empty tomb, coming out of the darkness, shining with resurrection glory, chasing away the darkness of sin and death, making them scurry in defeat, overcoming hate with love, overcoming division with reconciliation, overcoming anxiety with peace, overcoming jealousy with forgiveness. Dear friends, There's no darkness too dark for Jesus. There is no darkness that Jesus can't manhandle. As John 1:5 proclaims, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever the darkness may be, Jesus enters into that darkness, and he finds you, and he claims you, and he carries you out of that darkness, rescuing you forever. Name the darkness. Despair? Doubt? A sickness? Death, taking away friend after friend after friend, anxiety, loneliness, fear, a family in breakdown mode, a job on the chopping block, a child who has wandered away from the faith, a feeling of regret, a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of worthlessness. Whatever the darkness is, take Jesus' words to heart this evening. These words from John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, to follow Jesus is to believe in Jesus. And you do. In the waters of holy baptism, the light of the world, Jesus, dawned in your heart, illuminating you, enlightening you with faith in him and love for one another, opening up your eyes to see his face, which beams brightly, with no regret or disappointment in you, but only compassion and love for you. Compassion and love that no one can ever fully comprehend. Dear friends, our God has not abandoned us, but rather he embraces us in these dark times. The light has not gone out, and it never will, for the light shines brightly in the proclamation of the gospel, right here in the Christian church, a light that calls out to each and every one of us, come to me. You who are burdened and heavy laden and fearful and despairing and frightened and lonely, and I will give you rest and peace. Because of me, there is light in darkness, life in death, meaning in suffering, gain in loss. My people, have no fear. There is hope for you today, right here and right now. It is always darkest before the dawn. Your tears, they will fall for the night, but joy will come in the morning. A day is dawning when the darkness of sin and death will be no more, and the night of slavery will be game over. So follow me into joy and freedom and hope and resurrection and everlasting life. You can't see me, but you can hear me as I wash you and absolve you and feed you. Now you hear and believe, but soon enough, you will see with your own eyes that I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.